Hey, I'm Midori Trojanowski. I'm one of the co-presidents for the Latinx Advocacy Group here at Johns Hopkins School of Nursing in my fourth semester of the Direct Entry Master's program. Before coming here, I worked as a certified nursing assistant for 2 years, and so my ultimate goal is to be a geriatric nurse practitioner.
I'm Lupin Hernandez. I'm currently in the MBA DNP program here at Johns Hopkins. Currently, I've been a nurse for 11 years, but I work as a nurse faculty at DePaul University in Chicago, Illinois. I am a Mexican American.
All right, so Lupe, what drove you to become a nurse and a family nurse practitioner?
So nursing, I like to say that nursing found me because I was 14 years old in my sophomore class in high school, and there was a little sheet that kind of had a lot of cheesy questions on there, and it said, do you like to help other people? Do you like to do XYZ? I don't recall the exact questions, but it really spoke to me, and it was to join a certified nursing assistant program It was a partnership through the Chicago Public Schools and one of the community colleges in Chicago. So what I would do is I would attend my morning classes in my high school, and then in the evenings I would go to the community college and take nursing assistant courses. So I like to say that nursing found me, because since that day I have not stopped taking nursing courses, and till this day I'm still in nursing courses. So
yeah, that's awesome.
I like to say that it found me. And again, being in that course in high school really taught us a lot about different careers in nursing, and one of them happened to be a family nurse practitioner route. And when I read what a nurse practitioner does and how nurse practitioners are a little bit more involved and have a larger scope of practice, I really fell in love with the idea. And so I went in my first year of college knowing exactly where I was going to go.
Wow, that is so cool. So you didn't stop at nurse, though. You're so ambitious. So what drives you, what inspires you to pursue the DNP MBA?
So a lot of what happened was that nursing found me. I was very enthusiastic. I saw how much nurses do and what an impact we make in patients' lives. But at the same time, I also saw how patients had limited resources, how nursing and, well, healthcare in general could be a business. And so I want to know more about the business side in order to make a positive impact.
Wow, that's wonderful and so needed right now. And so in addition to all those amazing achievements so far, you've also been involved with the National Association of Hispanic Nurses. You were the vice president?
Yes, so I served as the vice president and then currently serve as the president now. Okay.
Wonderful. How long have you been with NON?
So I've been with NON since 2011. I originally joined during my family nurse practitioner program. I was looking for some motivation because it was a very tough program, and I sometimes felt a little bit isolated, like I didn't have anyone to talk to during such a difficult time. And I also wanted to do a little bit more than just work at the hospital. And one of the things that NON does is works in the community. And that was one of the things that intrigued me to join the organization. So I did start volunteering with NON, and ever since then, I haven't stopped.
Oh, that's awesome. And they're so lucky to have you.
Thank you.
And so I feel like it's important to mention that it is Hispanic Heritage Month. I myself am not Hispanic, but yeah, the reason I'm in Latinx is because I'm from California. And so growing up with friends, classmates, patients that I worked with using my Spanish, it's a community that's near and dear to my heart. So what is NON doing? What are you guys' priorities right now? And how's the progress coming?
So NON is the National Association of Hispanic Nurses, but they also have local chapters. So there's over 40 chapters right now. Currently in Illinois, which is the one that I'm president over, we are the largest chapter. So back in June, we won an award for being the largest chapter. We've had a lot of growth. We have over 200 active members at the moment. And so a lot of what we try to do, our mission is to provide mentorship. Again, less than 5% of the nursing workforce are registered nurses, are Hispanic. And so with such few nurses that are Hispanic and having 18% of the population being Hispanic, there's a huge discrepancy there. And so one of the things that we try to do is make sure that we're increasing the amount of Hispanic nurses in nursing.
That's wonderful. And it's very needed. You're right.
Yeah. So mentorship is one way that we do that. We also offer a significant amount of money in scholarships. And we've been able to do that with a lot of generous help from sponsors, which has helped, because that's another barrier that Hispanic students face. It's the financial aspect and the lack of mentorship.
Absolutely. So then sort of as you progress in leadership, are you finding many Latinas also, or Latinos in leadership?
So I don't see as many as I would like to in the healthcare industry. In the hospital, I don't see too many Hispanic nurse managers, CNOs, or even CEOs in those positions. In academia, I don't see as many as I would like to either.
Well, it sounds like you're working hard to change that, so Illinois is very lucky to have you. And I know in Latinx culture, like, machismo is still sort of, it's maybe more an old school thing, but it's still quite prevalent. So do you think that affects, like, your relationships in your own community or how others view you, or?
Not necessarily. I think nursing is, it's a female-dominated career, and I don't necessarily find that machismo is an issue. Mm-hmm. I do find that one of the cultural issues in nursing is that sometimes parents of first-generation nursing students don't necessarily understand the role of nurses here in the U.S. because it's very different in Mexico.
Can you speak more to some of that differences?
Yeah, so in Mexico, I think it's still similar to the way that nursing was perceived as more of a subservient role. Mm. And so you're just following doctor orders. And so in Mexico, some of that hasn't changed as quickly as it has here in the U.S. And so parents of Hispanic nursing students still perceive it as something that's not well respected, and you're more of a subservient, in a subservient role. Wow. In nursing.
Very different than, I mean, I feel like we're always reading the headline that nurses were just voted the number one most trusted profession. Yeah. So very different perspectives.
And not that there isn't respect for the nurses, but it's really not seen as one of the most ideal professions in Mexico.
Okay. So then as a Latina nurse, how has your experience been? Like, are there any certain challenges or opportunities that you faced?
Yeah, so I think the biggest challenge is the lack of mentors. Again, there's such few Hispanics in nursing that sometimes it is difficult to find mentors that are going to help you, guide you through the nursing, through the process to become a nurse. Nursing is unique because we have the practicum component to it, and sometimes balancing a job on top of a rigorous program and the practicum can become very difficult. So I think for me, it was the lack of mentors at the beginning of my career and the in school that was probably my biggest challenge. Okay. And I think that's where Nan played a huge role in helping me navigate through that.
Oh, wonderful. I'm glad there was some form of support for you.
And that's why we're so passionate about continuing that now.
Wonderful. And I actually wanted to circle back because you said that Nan does have volunteering in the community opportunities. What kind of volunteering? What does the Latinx community really need right now, in your opinion?
I think they need a lot of education. One of the things that I find is that there's a huge language barrier. Mm. So many times, again, because you don't have as many Hispanic nurses in the hospital settings or outpatient settings, there's sometimes, even with an interpreter, you don't necessarily always get all of the information that you need in your language. Mm-hmm. So for us, we like to make sure that we provide education in the community. We have worked with the national level to help assist in some of the grants that they have. So we participate in the All of Us grant. We also are working to distribute information on, so Hispanics, we fall short on making sure that we're immunized against, like, getting the pneumococcal vaccine.
So back when I was in California working as a CNA and as a home health aide, I couldn't help but notice that a lot of my patients who were better off, who could afford all these medications, these assisted devices, they were almost always white, well off. And on the flip side, whenever I did come into contact with the Hispanic population, they seemed to have more comorbidities, relatively worse off, having to live with their kids as opposed to on their own. And I think that speaks to sort of the structural, I don't know if I'd say structural racism, disenfranchisement that happens when we do have these vulnerable populations or immigrant community members. So what do you think Non's role could be in addressing some of those concerns? Because it might not be all about education as opposed to access.
Yeah, so we do work with several partners. We're always trying to develop new partnerships in the community. And so this past summer, we had several health, we were participating in several health fairs with one organization called Catholic Charities. And part of that is we also provided school physicals and blood pressure and BMI screenings for adults. So part of that is we did provide those free services. And if they needed follow-up visits, we did give resources to some free clinics or other organizations that could provide them with some either reduced or free services.
Wonderful. You're going right into the community.
We are doing a little bit more than the education piece. Mm-hmm. Because many of the people that came to the health fair are either underinsured or uninsured and needed those services.
Wonderful. So it sounds like you have a lot of really excellent ideas with how to help the community, which is fantastic. Here at Hopkins, our group is small, but we're very passionate. So what advice would you have? How can we sort of help Non make an impact here?
Yeah, so one, you might be small, but probably mighty, and if you guys have that passion for helping others. And one of our slogans when we were trying to grow our local, or the local chapter, is that we believe strongly that there's power in numbers. And so that's how we were able to really get to people, saying that their voice could be heard, and there is power in numbers. So joining us would make their voice be heard. And so one of the things that we always do is make sure that everybody talks about Non, knows that we exist, because we are definitely an organization that can help students who feel like they may not have other resources or other people to talk to or mentors that look like them, sound like them. And that's really important when you're in school, to feel like you belong or that you're part of something.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, Lupe, thank you so much for talking with me today, and best of luck to you as you finish your DNP MBA program.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here with you guys. Today was the last day of my first residency, and it was very informative. It was great to see all the faces that I normally see virtually in person.
I bet, yeah.
So thank you guys for having me here
congratulations.
Today.
Congratulations. Thanks.